Well, hello and welcome again to some more verse-by-verse Bible teaching. It is my prayer and it is this ministry's prayer that these messages are going forth in power, that they are going forth and changing lives. And the only way that they're going to do that is if you take the words that you hear from the teaching of God's entire counsel and you apply them to your life. Whether I do verse by verse or topical or just speak what's on my mind, if it isn't applied to one's life, there will be no change. So what we do here at the Wash and Word, and that's where this ministry comes from. This is we sponsor, support, we financially do it all here at the Wash and Word, and we do it for the sake of getting God's Word out there. But we do it because we want to bring God's Word in all of its entirety. And that's the crux of this ministry, that we do it in a verse-by-verse format, because we wholeheartedly believe, and gosh, if you're a Christian, why wouldn't you believe this too, that all of God's Word was written for us to hear, read, interpret, apply, and obey. And that's what we do here. We take all of God's Word, verse by verse, through entire books, and we do it so that we can get all of God's counsel into our hearts, into our lives, into our minds. We share it with you because we want you to hear and know what God has to say. Now, my name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word, but we're not important. God's Word is what is important. And I'm not going to sit here and say that everything I have to say is right. I'm not going to say you're going to agree with everything I have to say. But like the angel who sat on the tomb and told Mary what had happened to the resurrected Jesus, and when that angel had finished saying the words that he was sent to earth to say, he ended by saying, "Now I have told you." And that's all we ever hear from that angel. He was sent to earth to give one message, and he wasn't about to return to the Heavenly Father without having given the message he was charged to give. And so he gives that message and he says, "Now I have told you. The burden is off my plate. I have done what I have been called to do." And this is what we do here at the Wash and Word. Yes, we wash cars. And not to brag, but we do a really good job. Our prices are fair. We have reviews on Google. We have reviews on our website, washandword.com. People tell us we do a really good job. And we do a good job for one reason and one reason only. We have a perfect boss. And we wash cars for the glory of God. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This is a really long ramble to begin the message today, but I just feel this is what God wants me to say. And so we wash these cars, we give the glory to God, but we do it so that we can get God's Word out there in a unique format that is different than the four walls of the church. So what happens is we put these messages, we do five a week. They air on WMCH, 1260 AM radio, Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. And then we take those five messages and we play them on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right here in the parking lot of the Wash and Word. We have a small FM transmitter that broadcasts about as far as the parking lot. So 24 hours a day, you can come to the Wash and Word area. You don't have to come get your car washed. We don't even have to be open. Just come into the parking lot. Turn on your radio to 107.1 FM. God's Word is being broadcast from this place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so that's the nutshell of this ministry. Again, if you go to washandword.com, that's wash, the letter N, word.com, you can read about our vision and our testimony. You can listen to and download all of our archived verse-by-verse Bible messages. There's information about the ministry, information about the business. So washandword.com, that's your source of information if you have any questions. All right, well, let's get back into it. Sorry for the long intro there, but occasionally I just got to get that out. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians, going verse by verse through it. We are in chapter 12. Paul is talking about the spiritual gifts, and in our last message, we took the small list that he gave in verses 7 through 11, and we kind of touched on each one of those gifts individually. But I want to start off this message with a question, and it's probably one you've most likely been asked before, and that question is, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And one of the problems with doing, all right, let me rephrase that. One of the issues of doing verse-by-verse Bible teaching is you are inevitably going to come across a topic or a subject that is either uncomfortable, highly controversial, or quite frankly, unpopular. And I have no issue with any of those. In other words, I am charged with giving you the whole counsel of God's word. And if I stand before the Lord one day, I want to be able to say, now I have told you, just as that angel did. And if I skip parts of the Bible because they're uncomfortable, if I skip parts of his word because they're controversial, then what kind of a Bible teacher could I possibly call myself? So that is a controversial subject when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not so much controversial that it causes, you know, debates or arguments or anything. It just in its, I guess, in its interpretation. There are different meanings in different people's minds to what the baptism of the Holy Spirit means. So this is kind of one of those topics, but the main trigger is not so much the act of the Holy Spirit's involvement in a believer's life, but again, mainly in the terminology that defines the acts. So whether it be baptism of the Holy Spirit or the anointing of the Holy Spirit or the submerging of this Holy Spirit, the indwelling, the filling, the coming upon or the coming in or the coming around of the Holy Spirit, whatever word you want to put to it, the section we're about to address in chapter 12, although it doesn't talk directly about the baptism of the Spirit, it certainly does address it. Look at verses 12 and 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all, here it comes, baptized by the one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. All right, so I'll stop right there. And the reason I brought up the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the opening of this teaching today is because Paul mentions it. We were all baptized by one Spirit. And so now we see the main vehicle that Paul is going to use to convey his message of spiritual involvement on a divine and human level. This is the terminology he chooses to use. And he does this using the greatest divine creation, which happens to be us, human beings. Human beings are the greatest creation. God said so himself. The apple of his eye, the crowning achievement of all that he created. The Bible says that he said all things were good as he created them, and then he got to man, and he said it was very good. So Paul's going to take this baptism of the Spirit, and he's going to apply it to the great human creation that we were. Notice I said were. You see, God created a perfect creation in humans, but we fell, and we fell hard, and we fell quick. And God has been working to restore that ever since. But getting back to this, we often use the term body to define the believers, whether it be a worldwide term or within an assembly or a meeting place. We are the body of Christ. The Bible speaks of that often in the New Testament. Those who are believers and born-again Christians are all one body worldwide. Collectively, we are one body. Those of us who gather here in Church Hill and go to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road, plug, we are one body going to this church. So we are one body. So Paul is going to use the body analogy to get his message across about the Spirit's involvement. So I saw on a church marquee sign one time. I thought it was pretty cute. Most of them I don't like. By the way, if you have a church marquee sign out there, please take extra thought before you just put something out there. In fact, my wife and I go on a walk every morning. We walk our dog, and we pass this one church right here in Churchill. I won't mention it by name. because it's not going to benefit anybody. But their marquee sign, we look forward to seeing it as it changes. We call it the Fortune Cookie Marquee Sign. In this well-known Baptist church, I don't think I've seen the word Jesus once in the marquee sign. It's always some kind of feel-good message, and that's why we call it the Fortune Cookie Sign. It's more like a fortune cookie that's out there. So listen, when you see a marquee sign or you are in charge of putting something on there, you are broadcasting what you believe. You are broadcasting what the church represents in the world. So don't give me your fancy little marquee signs that are cute. I would prefer to hear something about Jesus, and I would like to see the name out there. Okay, rant over. Getting back on cue. The one I did see that I liked was, it said that the church is God's gift to his people. Some assembly required. I thought that was pretty cute. But, getting back to the scriptures, how do I know Paul is using the body here as, not just as an applicable metaphor to convey spiritual truth? Because he says, so it is with Christ. And that's how we can determine that this is being used as a spiritual and applicable metaphor. Now, when you look at your body in the mirror, what do you see? I'll pause for laughter. or disappointment. Or for you narcissists, perfection. But no, getting back to the seriousness of this, what do you see? If you stand in front of a mirror, you see two sections. There's the head, and then there's the torso, or the body, not counting its limbs. Of course, the appendages are attached, but there's the head, which is the control center, and all of the appendages that are attached, whether it be the torso, the body, the head, or the legs, are controlled by what? They're controlled by the head. And so we now begin to see the relationship that Paul is setting up here as he starts into the topic of one body, many parts. We are not born with the bodies that we have. We grow into them. I wasn't born with this chiseled Nordic god body that you see here before you today. And I can say that because I'm on the radio. It took work. I'm kidding, of course, but we must throw a dirty word out there, and then I'm going to discard it. And that dirty word is denominations. Now, the word denomination, this was never the intent when Jesus Christ set up his church. He never set up denominations. He set up a church, a body of true believers. It was always supposed to be one body of believers baptized into that body by the one true Holy Spirit. Now let's get this question out of the way right here in the beginning of this section. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have entrusted in his finished work at the cross, and you have been washed clean by his blood, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. That is an answer to the question I asked at the opening of this message. And our time is winding down, so we're going to connect this dot real quick. The question in the beginning of the message was, have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? The answer, and I'll repeat it, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have trusted in his finished work at the cross, have been washed and cleansed by his blood, then you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, I also said in the beginning that that is a very debatable statement, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And some of you might be saying, well, just because of those things you just said doesn't make you baptized by the Holy Spirit. True. And false. So let's look into this a little bit more deeper, shall we? In our next teaching. I'm just about out of time. So join me again at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, on WMCH, 1260 AM radio. Come by the Wash and Word. Put 107.1 FM on your radio. You can hear these messages 24/7. Go to washandword.com. You can hear these messages by downloading them, by going to the media tab. Call 423-920-0193. Or come to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road at 6 p.m. on Sunday evenings, where I teach verse by verse live. That's it. Have a blessed day.